Hi, Janine, and I'm a real alcoholic. That's funny, I brought my real alcoholic self to the meeting. Thank you for allowing me to speak, though. Okay, so I'm a little nervous. I feel I wanted to wring his neck when he asked if I could share the meeting, and I thought it was just going to be, I was going to be at home on Zoom and not going to have real people in front of me. And it's crazy how this program works and the people that it's brought into my life and so forth. So with that being said, I am nervous. But my sobriety date is June 8th of 2019. Yeah, I was, yeah, very, very, very new. Let's see, I have a sponsor, and I am going through the steps with her. I had a few sponsors, but something in my heart was missing, because I did get sober roughly when COVID hit, so I did a lot of Zoom the first year. Prior to the first year, I was on ankle monitor just to kind of identify as an alcoholic. So here I go. I'm a mother of five, so I'm not an alcoholic and I'm not like you people. So, yeah. Funny saying that right now. I was not an alcoholic. I refused to call myself an alcoholic. My father was the alcoholic. My family was. My ex was, not me. I kept the house good on the outside and everything, and he was the alcoholic and not me, girl, you know. And man, this program has given me a life that I get to live. I get to live a life, a real life, not a clouded, distorted one, lonely or an empty one. And I am a freaking crier, and I get sobered and I get emotional. But yeah, so I came into these rooms. I just got my third DUI 4 days right after I got a second one. Walking out of a liquor store thinking I was getting a drunk in public. And I was thinking, oh, shit, what am I going to say to the judge now? She just told me 4 days ago I better not be around liquor stores. And here I am. In jail, thinking I'm getting a drunk in public, when actually I got someone called in and I was clearly drunk. And prior to coming and getting sober, I blamed the damn Uber, because I did take an Uber the first round that I went to go get my drink and left my phone in the Uber. And so I had to go get before it closed, and I couldn't find my phone to call the Uber, so I drove. and that's where, you know, finally a higher power definitely made me sit down and shut up. You know, but it was not, I still didn't think I was an alcoholic. And that's crazy to say it out loud like that. My alcoholism hit. And in the book it says that it's cunning, baffling, and it waits. And it waits. Mine waited and waited. I quit drinking about 19. Only when I would get pregnant. My drinking was holidays, maybe every so often on the weekends, but I only stayed sober because my ex was a blackout drinker, and I walked on the eggshells Thursday through Sunday. So when I started having C-sections, pain pills are part of my story. And I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but that was how my alcoholism hit. I stayed numb through medication, thinking that, oh, it's prescribed to me. But I know every time I had my C-sections, I looked forward to the drugs that I would receive during the hospital stay. After that, I could wink my prescription for a long time, and then I, how it hit, because I didn't drink. I didn't have a problem. And I did that for a lot of years. I got my first DUI that way. I've been through 3 residential treatments, 2 outpatients, and was so numb and dark and hidden, and I had all these beautiful little kids, and I remember saying, I didn't even want kids. I didn't want to be a mom. And I didn't understand a lot, you know. I didn't until I got into this program. And I've been through counseling and, like I said, the rehabs. And yeah. And I just couldn't get it. And I didn't understand. And I didn't understand. My kids went to private school. I'd take them to math, but I was loaded. And I was okay. You know, I had all the pretty things. I had all the stuff that, you know, if you were to look on the outside at like a normal family, how it didn't. At the end of my, the using, I remember coming in and out, and I couldn't hold down water, and I tried to cut those, you know, the opiates for a while, and it was hard. It was so hard, but I was able to get a couple months in and out, and I remember seeing some light, and I was so scared. It was really a scary feeling, and a bright light came, and it scared the shit out of me. And the next day, I agreed to go to a treatment down south in Huntington, and I stayed there for 2 months. And I want to say that was honestly the first time that I had that the light, I guess you could say, the higher power, whatever you call it, whatever, and I choose to call it God, came to me. And I got out of that treatment center and went home. And the next day I went shopping and I came home and my partner was drunk and had a party going on. And I still blame myself. I was confused. And so that was where the little God part left me. Nothing was changing. I stayed clean for about 6-7 months. That's probably about the longest I had gotten. And went on for a couple years after that. And woke up in the ER, I don't know how many times. I passed out at a Taco Bell drive-thru with all 5 of my kids and my niece. Picking them up from school. That didn't scare me. That didn't stop me. And I did get a DUI on that. Came home and I wrecked the Cadillac and didn't know how I did that. The next day I got up to take my kids to football practice and my whole side end was messed up. And I didn't know if I had hit anybody or what happened. And I didn't think, nowhere in there was a I always was questioning, what's wrong with me? I'm freaking broken, you know? Just dead inside. And I can smell death, and I don't know how to explain that. My mother was, on dialysis. And, I remember her, you know, the smell that the kid, you know, the urine and stuff, and I was poisoning my body so much that I could smell that smell. It scared the shit out of me. And, I couldn't take it anymore, and I left. I packed a little bit of my clothes. My son was getting ready to graduate, his eighth grade graduation, and my ex was, we just got into an argument, and he said, I can't deal with your family here and having them see you so messed up. And I said, all right. I go, well, since I'm the problem, and I left, I packed. And I kicked the pills. And never went home after that. It was scary, and I just prayed. I just knew if I stayed there, I was going to kill my, I was going to eventually not wake up. But I never touched the pills after that. And that was the most confusing thing for me, because when I started to drink, it was fun. It was fun. And, it didn't have that stigma attached to it with the pills and stuff. Oh, yeah, you're fine now. You know, you haven't touched those things for a while. Or, you know, that's not your problem anymore. And I was single, getting used to, you know, not having the kids. We shared week on, week off. And by the grace of God, my kids, you know, I didn't harm them. I didn't physically crash or anything like that, because I drove around pretty much loaded every day. I would wake up with a handful, you know, of pills, go to sleep, handful, and that's how I lived. And then when I stopped doing that, it took a couple months. I went through a lot of withdrawal and that. And, it's just crazy, because I didn't know I had this thing called alcoholism, you know, I didn't know until I got to AA, and it wasn't by choice, because like I said, I had an ankle monitor, and I was on my 13 UIs, I had to do something, and I've never been in jail, I've only, speeding tickets, and no seatbelts. That's what I've, you know, I lucked out, so I never got caught like that. But I grew up on a reservation in Nevada, and liquor was everywhere. My father was a U.S. Marine, very OCD, and he had issues. And my mother stopped drinking after she had me, so I never seen her drunk. But so I guess you could say it runs in the, you know, in our blood. But my dad, he was a hard worker. I love that man. Very hard worker. I always had, but he drank, and he drank, and I lived through that dysfunction and walking through eggshells. And today, because of AA, I get to identify and understand, you know, this little girl that had left at 13. In ninth grade, I went to a boarding school. And I took all that dysfunction and all that scared and all that fear. I did a geographical. I moved. I went to a boarding school in Oregon, where I met my kids' father. And a bunch of natives that had dysfunction. We all went, you know, all of us 13, 14 year olds, went to a boarding school, and, it was normal. Alcohol was normal to my family and to my friends and my relatives. It was everywhere. Go to the gas station. You know, there's gambling, alcohol 24/7 in Nevada. And so, that's all I knew. And, so when I met some more kids that were normal to me, it was normal. And that's how I started my, you know, my next step after I graduated high school. So my drinking was on the weekend, and I could drink a lot. And everybody, you know, that was the one thing that used to, like, confuse me with this, with these things. It says that I had an allergy. And I'm like, I'm not allergic to freaking alcohol. I can drink, like, for days. Like, I don't have a, like, what do you mean? I just could not get that concept of, like, I have an allergy. I can drink forever. And I, you know, and I just didn't freaking get it. I was so clueless. I was kind of angry at that one, actually. But, yeah, I took all that dysfunction and created our own little child dysfunction, you know, not knowing. And I believe today, I know today, because of this program and these steps, that my parents did the best that they could with what they had. They did instill some things, you know. Just, they were spiritually sick as well. You know, the one thing that I trip out about Alcoholics Anonymous and the program and the fellowship and just all of, you know, people that identify as an alcoholic is, we are freaking pretty awesome people. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us are very smart, loving, sensitive people and beautiful, beautiful souls. I tripped out because I was able to, at COS after I graduated high school, I was able to walk on as a pitcher. And, in 2000, and, you know, I believe that we all have those talents. It just, you know, kind of gets messed up a little bit. And, you know, I fought this disease for the longest time, denying it, not knowing, just clueless. And I'm very grateful that it was able to happen so fast for me. It only took about a year and a half for me to be a full-blown alcoholic. It went from like a month hanging out with the girls. Then it was 2 weeks, then it was every weekend, and then it was when the kids went to sleep, and then, yeah, on a daily, waking up, throwing up, taking a shot, just to get the shot down, because my shakes and my cramps and stuff were so bad, and it was scary. I had to, had a drink in the morning, and I didn't understand, did not understand. but, thank God there is a solution, right? Mm-hmm. And it's in the first 164 pages. So I'm on, my second year was in June. I've never freaking had 2 years sober since
mom.
Yeah, since I was about in seventh grade, I've had 9 months, 5 times. I can't really honestly say 9 months because I probably was drunk the first month, you know, until I found out I was pregnant. But I did my best of staying sober through the pregnancies and stuff. But afterwards, I would go full force. So to even get the 1 year was amazing, because I've never really said that out loud to anybody, but I've never had a full year of 100% sobriety ever since I was in sixth grade. And it's been a trip. I have never been so freaking sober. I have never been this sober. And, yeah. It's crazy because I got my first sponsor. They say, get a sponsor. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. And I get one, and bless her heart. If I was her first sponsee, and that poor lady, I was in an outpatient. I remember telling her, I already went through step 1, 2, and 3. I'm good. I'm good. Let's just keep going. And she's like, But Bob Fisher in my life for a reason, because that's what I did, Dean, because I knew everything. Oh my gosh. And so we were on that. So we were stuck on step 4 and 5 forever. And then she asked me a question. Janine, how are you powerless over alcohol? And how is your life that miserable? Like, what does that even freaking mean? Like, I'm already almost a year sober. I'm in an outpatient. I've already worked the steps 1, 2, and 3. Like, what? Why do I have to? Huh? And I remember going and being late for the bus, and I missed some appointments, so I had to reschedule. And I was pissed because then it took forever to get another appointment, especially with all this COVID stuff. And I was like, I was mad. Like, I wanted the type where, you know, where you're so mad you just want to drink? Because I was pissed. And then I called her, and I said, Kat, my life's unmanageable. I can't even freaking get to an appointment on time. I know, but... And then I started thinking about it. I have never been freaking on time. I have never... Yeah, and it hit me, boom. I have not drank, I have not taken any pills, and I'm still freaking a mess. Like, what the hell? And she goes, you think? And I said, oh my gosh, that's step one. Freaking 3 DUIs, I don't know how many, whatever, and, going through, which I thought I already went through step 1, 2, and 3, not knowing, just straight up clueless. But, yeah, so I was able to start listening, and I was willing to follow her lead. I kind of outgrew, you know, how it says, like, I was needing something else, and I was really wanting to dig in there more. About a year and a half later, I was able to get another sponsor, and this woman was freaking amazing. But the only thing is she was out of town, in up north. And, I, with everything coming back into in-persons and stuff, I've never really practiced, this program with an actual sponsor that was in person, face to face, and I've never did the program or the steps with somebody, you know, like that, where my brain was clear. I wasn't foggy. And I wanted to really start doing these steps that they say to do and suggest. And I learned boundaries. Especially with my second sponsor, she was very, very up forward and what I needed, which she gave me an ultimatum as far as, you know, Janine, either you work the steps or you get another sponsor. And she had me pray on it. And it wasn't that I wasn't willing. It's I was missing something in my gut. It felt I needed to find somebody and connect with somebody, and boom, I got my sponsor. And she's here, and I'm freaking so raw. Like, because she's really here, she holds me accountable, and yes, I do got to go through my steps again, too, so I'm on step two, and I'm just, like, rolling my eyes. I'm like, but I already did these. Oh, man. Yeah, but she actually reminded me. She said, Janine, are you going to be speaking next month? This was last month she asked me. And wasn't that, like, a trip? Because I just got her as my new sponsor. And she freaking called me out. And I was like, shit, now I really can't hide, right? Because now I really got a sponsor that's, like, in real life. And it was, like, my God was, like, freaking, well, here you go. And, yeah, I get to be of service again, and I'm like, but I did 6 months in my mind, right? I never said that out loud to her yet. And I've been laying low because I've been so used to just kind of like hiding a little bit, and now I get to freaking make coffee. I have to be on time. Force myself. I still have to force myself to do the things I don't want to do on a daily. And even the prayers. I mean, this living sober is freaking work. My brain is so freaking clear. It just pops on. Like, as soon as I wake up, I get tired, I get sensitive, I get angry, all this shit, and I'm so sober. I just never would have pictured being sober like this. I never would have been sober like this. And that's this program, and it's this fellowship, and I get it today. I can never drink one drink. Because, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. And the service stuff and all this other stuff is still uncomfortable to me, but I push through it. And I don't drink. My father called me a little bit before, about 5, and which normally would have triggered me, which would have freaking flipped me the F out, because he's seen things. And I don't know if it's dementia, and I don't know if it's alcohol, I don't know if it's meth. He lives in Nevada, about 9-10 hour drive. And in my first reaction, how I normally would have handled that, I could see today, I would have drank. I would have drank, and I would have drank, and I would have probably drove drunk up there. You know, but that was and then my second thought was, I don't want to go speak. I don't want to speak. And, go there with grace and dignity. Be accountable, Linda. Yeah, hey, just screw, shut up. yeah, I'm not in control of people, places, or things. Drinking is not going to help my father. You know, I have a higher power in my life today. I have something that guides me, and it's not alcohol, it's not drugs, it's not men. I have a roof over my head. I have my driver's license. I got a freaking Intelot thing I got to blow, and thank God, God willing, February, that sucker's going to be out, and I'd have that. Oh, gosh, yeah. it's been a crazy ride. I went a whole year riding a pink bike on a bus. I've never had been on public transportation in my life. I was able to do that with this program. I was able to go to my cousin's funeral, and it was 6 months after she lost her brother from an OD. My cousin, he OD'd, and unexpected, but 6 months after that, his sister, we lost her to diabetes. She was on dialysis, and I did drink over it. Sober. I was able to go up and see my father and that. I didn't drink, but God does for me what I can't do for myself. I definitely would have, though, if I didn't have that damn interlock in my car. I mean, you know, and I remember coming back home, and you don't do this alone. And this group right here, by Celia Neuters, they got me through that second year. Definitely, I pulled over on the new meeting coming back from Nevada. I can't even freaking drink because I got the sea in my car. That's freaking all God. I mean, even when I got off the ankle monitor, that's when COVID went in and everyone was locked down. But I was already in lockdown for 6 months. So at that point, I was like, well, nothing's changed. But, I'm here. I have a different outlook on life today. Every day I get up, I do my best to say my prayers and have someone else guide my life, because I freaking, my best thinking got me here. And I remember asking God, whatever, I go, okay, God, I'm here. I'll give you a year. And really, I had no other choice because I had to get my court card signed, but it literally took me that much to get to this program and want to, you know, be open to it this time. And, you know, it's sticking. It's really sticking. I have a bunch of fathers. I have a bunch of mothers. I have a huge family. And I also have, you know, my children. But in sobriety, in a year into me being in this program, my two older sons stopped talking to me. And that was a hard one because they were with me this whole time. And I'm sober for a year and these little shits want to, you know, block me and tell me I'm a piece of junk, you know. And I didn't get it and it hurts. And I wanted to drink. But I didn't, you know, you do it one day at a time. I still haven't, I didn't get to see my son graduate. And my oldest son. But I do have relationships with my three younger kids. and I get to own that I am not in control of them and I can't make them. And their time and a couple of other people have let me know that sometimes it does. You don't get a relationship with them sometimes. But I'm okay with that today. I still love them and I pray for them. And they have every right to feel that the way that they feel towards me. I put them through a lot. They've seen me go to the lot. I went to one of my son's graduations, so 8th grade graduation at a Catholic church, tore up. I don't know how I got there. I think I came through about a couple days after that. My car was still parked there, and I woke up with bruises everywhere, head to toe. I don't even know where it's at, but I still don't want to know. And I made a fool out of my son's 8th grade New York trip, my oldest son. So, yeah, they might have a reason to be a little upset with me, you know. But I would have never seen that until this program. I would have
I would have played victim, but today I get to own my side. And yeah, that's where I'm at today. You know, I got a freaking yeah, these steps. I gotta keep doing these steps, and apparently I got a lot of work to do, and I will always, and I'm not rushing anything at this point, but my sponsors are just freaking amazing, and I'm just so thankful for this program. And I freaking got a temp job at Burger King, by the way. And my prior sponsor says, "You're gonna go there. You're gonna go there with grace and dignity, and you're gonna do this." And I'm like, "I hate grace and dignity, but okay, whatever." They say grace and dignity is grace and dignity. But I trip out because I didn't care if I lived or not. I didn't care. The ERs didn't scare me, but hey, look, I don't want to be at the last of the bottom that I was at because I know it can get worse, and it's not worth it for me today. So I don't drink no matter what. I'm doing my best of being of service. And I will keep doing these steps, and I will sit there and say, "Yes, ma'am," to my sponsor. And then when AA asks for me to do something, I will do it. And continue to keep working these steps and letting God lead me. Because, I can't do it. Just want to thank you, Bill, for allowing me to share. And I don't know, just like I said, I was very nervous, and it's my first time really speaking like this. And I had a plan. I was gonna do this, and it just did not come out the way. But really, what did get me was my father calling. And prior to that, without this program, I wouldn't be here, and that would have crumbled me. That would have definitely stopped me from being here today, but thanks to AA and my higher power. I freaking got a higher power and great white spirit, whatever, but definitely God's got a freaking sense of humor and a beautiful heart, because look at all of us, and he loves us equally. And they keep coming back. So thank you.
Wow. We are now going to start the meeting. There's a lot of people here tonight. We want to make sure everybody gets a chance to share. So use the time wisely. I'm going to now turn the meeting back over to Janine, where she can pick on some people to share. So what we do is we usually pick people in person and also online.
Okay.
And you can pick from the couple of names listed here and
okay. Janine O'Kellick, how about, Leah?
I'm through voice here.
Thank you for the
and the same. I also was deeply impatient with and I was willing to talk about it.
Imagine my boy, like, imagine those, and
especially moms are fucked up, you know, and have to take that into consideration. It's not their fault. And that is, you know, the only thing I can do is just be strong for myself and for you, you know, and being of service. Yeah, I get nervous too. I get really nervous, but I've been given that opportunity to be held accountable for something, and that kind of gives me a boost, you know, just showing up, being there, being able, being empty to you. You know what I mean? That's one thing I always tell myself when I have to do something, or if it's not an obligation, because guess what? You're not drunk and you get to do it. If you were drunk, you wouldn't get to do too much. Or you would hate to do it. Probably. English service is a big part of my life. It restarts, it reduces my need to, you know, like a booster shot. I live day by day, minute by minute, and now I have to remember that just keep going sober, everything's okay. You know, that life still happens, and that's what checked me out before, there are a few times life happened. I have to tread lightly and really focus on how I take things anyway. I have buttons. My other old sponsors used to tell me I have buttons, and I gotta shave those buttons down. I let people, they can't reach them, they can't push them. But I'm actually the one to not allow them to push the buttons. And that was a big lesson, but if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be so good. I'm really grateful for your share. And it's nice to see you in person.
Thank you. How about Sammy?
Sammy Jones, I'm not going to.
Hi, Sammy.
We were talking earlier about how she said, you know, she's nervous. I'm always nervous. And from all that, I'm still nervous every time I have to say it, you know? And I think that's a good thing. Because for me, that keeps me green. That means I'm not to the point where I think I know it all yet. So nervous, right? This is a good thing. I like to thank those two sponsors for finding these for me. But you can see the growth that you've done with the other sponsors. You see the work that you've done together. And I can see your willingness to stay sober and your willingness to meditate and stay that way. I share a lot of your same things with you. Except I drank and snored through all five of my breaks. And I don't have any idiots, so I guess it was okay. I got to use this program and have seen so many times in my life. In yours as well, in your story, even in my own, that this, our disease is progressive. It never, ever gets, it always gets worse. But you know what? So is our recovery. And I love that about this program. Recovery is progressive as well. You know, and I was talking to somebody earlier today saying, I didn't see many changes in you. Other people did. Other people always do it first. As long as they do it when I did. You know, they always like big thing, I did, Yeah, you did. But this is why I hang around with people. People don't have the same thing about it. We're alike. We think alike. Our pain is the same. Our situations may not have been identical, but our feelings about them and our actions were. And that's why I hang around. That's why I go to so many meetings. I need to be reminded where I came from. I don't ever, ever want to forget that. Because I don't want to go back to being that woman I used to be. That's why we're all here. Because we don't want to go back to being that person we used to be. So I'm glad to be here again tonight. This is a great meeting. Thank you, my darling. I love you. And I am going to stay out. Because if you guys don't know this right now, If you don't live before the miracle, it's going to get greater late.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you, Sammy. How about David?
Hi, David. Thank you for your service. I really don't need your service, and it's just that things that really start in my place, and I couldn't find a way. As much as I wanted to, I wasn't able to find a way out. You also mentioned the allergy, and thank you. I'm kind of lucky because I heard early on that the allergy is just an abnormal reaction. That's all an allergy. Any allergy is just an abnormal reaction. And I did learn for myself that one drink is too many because 20 is not enough. Normal people don't react like that. But I do. I'll follow this forever off with you. I am thankful for this program. I've learned to be grateful for the things I have. I practice that in the morning. I've had a morning routine now, which I didn't used to have. And that routine starts the day off right, and things get so much better as if you start the day in a reflection. Today's morning reflections was just beautiful. And I needed to remember, there again, there it is for the grace of God to go by. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I am so thankful that my story didn't play out the way it could have. I'm grateful that I got here in the Minnesota Alcoholics Club. Thank you for calling on me. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris.
I'm Chris. Wonderful spirit. But the thing that makes it best is your honesty. And, I like being a tough guy, but I'm a crier too. That's all right. But what I've learned is not letting that out. I hold it all in, and it just keeps me up. You've had, so many things, so much stuff that you went through, but you made it. And you're doing it. And that's the thing. I never understood at 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I didn't see it because I was still so new. But getting a little more time, I used to always hear people with time say, man, it makes my heart shine to see someone get it. What do you mean? I don't even get it. But I see that more now. One of the things I could really relate to is your son's graduation. I didn't go to my oldest daughter's graduation, but I didn't go on top. Well, I was pissed at something, and I was going to make her pay because I wasn't going. And my next daughter's graduation came, and I didn't go to the first one, so I can't go to this one. My niece that lived with us, graduation came up. Well, I can't go to that one because I went to the other. So I had to stay angry, and I had to make myself angry and mad so I wouldn't go. My oldest son, I was about 4 months sober, and I went, I got lucky. My kids have every reason to hate me, but didn't. As a matter of fact, I beat myself up over it because I don't deserve what I get from them. But I cherish what I do. Not always because I'm an alcoholic. You know, I forget that. You know, but I still want to put my own needs on first. But, I mean, you're doing wonderful, and it's amazing. I love your personality, your loveliness. You make it enjoyable. And that's what sobriety is supposed to be, enjoyable for us. Because we're not here to, you know, to be glum. I mean, I can go back to the back alleys for that. Thank you for your share.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, Matt. How about Matt? Where'd he go? On mute?
Hi, everybody. My name is Matt. Boy, am I an alcoholic.
Oh, Matt. Hi, Matt.
Well, it's great to see you guys. I needed a meeting tonight, and I needed to see your faces and hear your voices and be with the fellowship. I'm really don't have that much to share except for the season's greetings, and I hope that peace and happiness finds your households. I hope this season is not a difficult season for you. It was going to prove to be a little bit of a difficult season for me. I needed a minor reparative surgery, and I got it, and so I'm on the mend, and that's why I can't be with you tonight. And Jeanine, I just wanted to, if I could ping just off, just for a second, just off of what you shared, one of the most comforting things that I heard early in my recovery, and this is from the chairs of the recovery home I was a resident in, was that the counselors looked at us and they said, family does come back. Family, friends, and relations do come back. And so that was, and it proved to be true. And I ended up with a fellowship that proves to be sometimes a bit of a challenge because we're all sick to one degree or another. But I tell my, and I'll reveal this, that I tell my therapist this. We're all okay in our brokenness. I know that, you know that I'm a little bit mentally twisted, and I know that everybody else there reacts to life as life presents itself a little bit differently than normies, as we lovingly call them, but we're together in this, and I have you, and you have me, and we have a higher power, as I like to call it, my holy power, and if you'll allow me that much of an indulgence, I just want to say thank you for being here. I love you, and as I say, may peace and kindness and wisdom and patience and tolerance find you and your households this Christmas season. Thanks for letting me share. Matt Alcoholic.
Oh, let's see the guy on the corner. Who's that on the corner over there?
Zeke.
Oh, you're gonna have to use the outdoor voice then.
I'm not only an alcoholic, I am a meth addict, and I know, like, it's
probably to really see, I don't know, like, be in that weakness, but I am very much so an addict too, as well as I want. Started off drinking when I was 16, 27 now, with kids. Got a job. I'm really curious to hear the grunts. And, you know, I mean, definitely put me in my own place. Thankful for that every day, that I can be a part of, like, a society where I can be a letting man instead of, like, still the future, you know what I mean? Because that's definitely what I was doing, is still my own future. And definitely just stepping into the family street. Something that I don't want to do anymore. Definitely moving on to better places, things, better hopes. Brighter ideas,
This year, I'm two smaller guys, so it's been 20 years. And I want to struggle in lodging myself because it's just helping me to live every day. It's just going to be a lot harder than it is. When I first started in the rooms, I felt like I was pretty far down. So, first, the furthest down is always like in the ground, right? So, it always needs to come back up. I think today's like 55 days, probably. Also, 55 days. And that's pretty hard. After an 18-year-old, when she gets me, I feel like here on this isn't bad, but I just, it's a hard time to hear, right? But I'm just so proud of myself. I'm proud of my associations. I'll have moving on to more guilt instead of shame. To do with that. I just gotta have faith and pray that that will work out. But this week's been a rough week. I have like felony charges coming up faster than I want to deal with. And hopefully it will work out. But I know that even if I stay on my feet, this never happens. Hopefully I can sit on the jail. I didn't like jail when I went. It was pretty rough. But again, I'm stuck with a lot of it. And I still get really nervous when Cheryl from the house, of course. But yeah, it's been hard staying here, people, staying, like, keep coming back, and, you know, one day at a time, and you're just like, what did that do? Now we can be ahead of you that way. I really just thought, like, now I'll be able to just do it. I don't know how I know that last month. It's one of the ways for me to hold up a stop. And in the end, it was just not going to be the same idea. Except for if I was working.
Oh, you are?
I mean, we didn't. When I was working, I would get home in the morning and work from home. I was working for a week before. was spoken to, but I feel like I'm not going to get through it. And,
How about Bear? Would you like to share, Bear?
I'm Bear. I'm very good. We're all coming.
Bear.
Well, there's only one thing in here that's done before 5 o'clock this morning. You probably got the worship already today than I do. Welcome to the new room. You're on your ass, but here for Roy Lloyd. Thank you for sharing with us. For me, it was a pleasant addition to my trip over here. Yeah, my friend. It always seems like there's more and more travel around. I'm going to drive to Tuesday all the way to all the I really identify with it, especially with the children. Between Jamie and I, we've got 7 2-year-olds and 6 boys. And we're just 5 boys. my daughter, my daughter, didn't talk to me for nearly 15 years. She went to, she was in our wedding party when Sammy and I got married. And she wanted to come over here from Hawaii to, she used the excuse that she wanted to check out some of the universities and that here. And, I thought that was an excuse, so I told her, no, please, you couldn't believe that. And she got upset with that, somewhere along the line, she got really, really upset with me. And, we finally, only about the last, 15 years, something like that, we've been pretty close, although, I think it was her turn to call me this weekend, and she didn't call. So I guess I'm not going to call her next week. But in truth, I've heard an awful lot of people share and lost some more. For Sammy's children, they're all kind of talking to each other now, grandchildren and all that. And it took a death to instigate that. One of our grandsons passed away from drugs. And, he ended up missing for 5 years. Never talking to his mom. Never calling anybody. And, he was found in a porta potty in a park in Seattle. And, for some of us, it wasn't necessarily a blow because we knew it was inevitable. It was going to happen. Then on the other hand, I don't think anybody is prepared for death. And it struck our entire family pretty much to the point where everybody started talking to everybody. And I think that's pretty neat, really. Our oldest grandson wanted us to move down to North. His grandmother and I moved down to Phoenix back when we first got here, I guess, he was about retiring. And I said, no, I don't know. The furthest one of our sons is, he's up in the Bay Area, Walnut Creek. And he'll be coming down to visit us for the East of January. So, that's close enough. I really actually believe, in my heart of hearts, the old saying that says, friends, relatives, and fish begin to smell after 3 days. We had my two grandsons visit Hawaii a couple years ago, and they were there. They were at our place for a week, and I, unfortunately, they're both diabetic, so I couldn't see them and send them home. So I tried my best to be a grandpa. But, my people work out pretty well. From there. And I love the alcohol I can drink, but, you know, if you're new in this program, man, I've done an awful lot of drinking and doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. And I really cheated the Grim Reaper a couple times. And I'm glad that I did, because if I didn't, I probably wouldn't be here. He's probably after me anyhow. You want to get me because of my alcohol. Yeah, that's for sure. At least I hope not. Again, thank you for sharing. Thank all of you that, you know, I mean, if you have 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, 10 years, whatever time you got, just hang in there. It's worth it. It's worth it. And I can't explain to you why it's worth it. It's just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Thanks for letting me share, and thanks for calling on me.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. I'm afraid we've run out of time, and I have to wrap up. There was one little snippet of the book, though, that I thought really lined up.